Now, I'm delighted to welcome back to Northside Today a regular contributor and local spokesperson on behalf of the NSTI, Mark Walsh. Mark, good afternoon and welcome to the programme. Sorry, the ASTI, Mark Walsh. Mark, good afternoon and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Donny.
Mark, a report recently published, Education at a Glance 2018, it kind of bears out, in fact it doesn't kind of, it actually bears out other reports, one of which came out last year, which I found very disturbing, from the third level, which stated that none of our third level institutes were now in the top 10 where they had been for years, and this has the trickle down effect to second level.
I'm not sure about the trickle down effect in terms of second level. I haven't particularly looked at that particular report that you mentioned, but certainly the OECD report, which has come out, confirms what we've been saying in terms of the lack of investment in education and the cuts that were implemented over the period of austerity. There's been huge decreases, and the OECD report confirms basically what we've been saying. So, yes, I agree that it's almost like the Education at a Glance report confirms various different reports, including the one that you mentioned there, as to the decreasing investments in education over the austerity years. And I suppose, you know, with that decrease, the government has been making a lot of, putting out a lot of announcements recently about the level of increased investments they say that they're putting into the system. So Richard Bruton, for example, was saying that they've increased investment in education by over $1 billion in the last 2 years, and that the education budget is the highest that it's ever been at $10 billion. And they're talking about, you know, they've recruited 5,000 extra teachers and so on, and $8.4 billion they announced there recently for school building programs and so on and so on. And I suppose what the point we would make is that they're really making a virtue of necessity, because certainly at second level and primary as well, there has been and there's going to be a huge surge in student numbers. And so really that investment is only there, is necessary to keep pace with the growing numbers. So just give you a few figures, for example. And for example, in 2000 and the projected figures from the Department of Education is that there'll be a 17% higher numbers of students in 2025. So that, in other words, there'll be an increase of about 65,000 second level students between 2016 and 2025. So if you like, that increased investment is just necessary to keep pace with the rising number of students. So, and then if you look at what the OECD report says, that the expenditure per student in Ireland in 2015 was much lower than it was in 2010, and it decreased by 22%. And it's both a fall in expenditure and an increase of student numbers. So really, a lot of the announcements recently by the government are barely, and they don't even keep pace, as the OECD report says, with the increase in student numbers.
Mark, can I put it to you that, you know, while the announcement by Minister Bruton is, of course, and obviously very welcome, I know of nobody in the education system who wouldn't be in favour of additional spending, that the reality is that you're running to stand still insofar as that, you mentioned it yourself, that during the downturn in the economy, the education system was hit and hit hard, as we know, and that the money being spent now is actually the accumulation of money that should have been spent over the last, and let's be honest, it's gone on 10 years now, that this is money that should have been spent anyway. So realistically speaking, we're not even today where we should be. It will be in the future, we'll be where we should be in 2018.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point. I mean, if you look at what the OECD report says in terms of the overall spend as a percentage of GDP, Ireland is at only 3.5% as a percentage of GDP, whereas in the OECD they spend an average of 5%, and the EU average is 4.6%. So Ireland is well below other countries in terms of the percentage of GDP we spend on education. Now, the government will claim, well, the proportion of money allocated to education is you know, average in terms of other EU countries. The proportion, the share of the actual total public expenditure is average, but in terms of GDP, it's near the bottom of the table, you know. And the problem is that Ireland doesn't collect a lot of collects a lot less in terms of taxation to spend on government expenditure. And for example, it gives a figure of only 29% of our GDP goes on government expenditure in Ireland, whereas in Finland and Norway you're talking about 57% and 58%. So we spend a lot less on our public services, and even if the proportion that education gets of that pie is relatively average in the EU, we're still spending a lot less than we should be. Another area where there's huge, a really serious lack of expenditure is in the area of mental health. And, you know, we hear a lot of talk about well-being these days. You can't open a newspaper without reading some article on well-being and mindfulness and so on. But we're still, the school system is still suffering from the cuts to guidance counselling that were made during the crisis. And even the government own figures show that the service was reduced by 25% since 2012. So like a 25% drop during an economic crisis when students probably would have needed the support most, you know. And we talk about protecting the vulnerable, and yet at that time there was cuts to guidance counselling. Now, there have been some restoration of those guidance counsellor cuts, but it's still off the required level. And just some of the figures in terms of even the child and adolescent mental health service, for example, is severely underfunded at the moment. So when our students are in crisis, for example, they need to go to what's called CAMHS, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services. And according to their figures, they have less than 40% of the required number of clinical psychologists, less than 50% of social workers, and less than 60% of occupational therapists. So you can see that the mental health services for children and adolescents are severely underfunded by the government, despite all the talk of well-being and mindfulness and so on and so on, and, you know, well-being in junior cycle and things like that. So there's a real gap there. And, for example, there's 15 counties in Ireland with no out-of-hour services for children in terms of mental health. And we see children still being admitted to adult psychiatric wards due to the lack of facilities for children. So, like, there are some of the consequences of this lack of investments that the Education and Advance report has highlighted. And I suppose that's in terms of the overall investments. And then even in terms of it's feeding into what we call at the moment the recruitment crisis in education, because I don't know if you've heard of it, but there's a shortages in certain areas in terms of second level in particular for teachers of modern languages, teachers of maths, teachers of home economics, teachers of Irish. We're facing a recruitment crisis, which we haven't really faced in the past, and a lot of it is down to the fact that salaries for new entrants have been cut. So the OECD report says, for example, that in terms of teacher salaries, Ireland is around the mid-table position for starting salaries for teachers.
Mark, something you mentioned there, and I was going to come to it later on, which is kind of, it's outside what we're going to talk about, but you know, when we get talking, we have a habit of wandering a little bit. Yeah, two things, Mark, that you have mentioned there, which is teacher recruitment. Now, could I put it to you that maybe teacher recruitment, you would know more about this than me, obviously, but teacher recruitment may be an issue, but the bigger issue actually is keeping teachers in the country, because we hear anecdotally of teachers, once qualified, they're heading out to the Middle East, particularly Bahrain and places like that, where they are getting absolutely phenomenal wages and a far better lifestyle, and I might even go so far as to say maybe that they're a little bit better appreciated. And the other thing which I will run in tandem with that is the issue of pay restoration, the two-tier pay system. Now, I throughout the entire public service, I heard a figure very, very recently, in fact, earlier today, that to get pay restoration back would cost 200 million across the entire public service. So, I mean, those two issues of trying to, number one, keep teachers in the country, and number two, to get pay restoration back, because it is very unfair if you're looking at some two teachers in the staff room when we hear the figures of, if there isn't pay restoration, what the difference will be in their total income over the lifetime as a teacher.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge issue, and it is directly linked to the relative underfunding of education that we've been talking about, as highlighted in the OECD Education at a Glance report. When it comes to the, if you think about the savings from the government point of view, the savings that they would feel they've made since 2011 by not having to pay teachers the proper salary, you know, they've made huge savings there, and they're actually going against investing in the system. They're taking money out of the system by not paying teachers the correct salary, and the losses are huge. I mean, they're estimated to be about 6,000 per year in primary and secondary. So if you think of back since 2011, what's that, seven years now, you're talking about, you know, over 40,000 maybe euro lost by teachers in that time. And it's no wonder they're going to places like Dubai again, because they don't have to suffer the lower salaries, and they are more appreciated probably as well. Just even in terms of second level, I'll just give you a figure or two here that just illustrates it. If you look at the figures for second level, in years 1 to 13, so say a teacher starting off this year in 2018, and if there's no change in the current situation, they're down about 6,862 euro per year, an average figure of 6,862 euro per year for the first 13 years of their career. So, like, that's the reality of the cuts that were made to new entrant pay. And there is an expectation, you talked about the 200 million, there is an expectation on the part of the unions that the upcoming budget on October the 9th will start to show how that issue can be resolved and where the 200 euro is going to be found. The unions all have high expectations about the fact that there should be money on the table from the budget on October the 9th. And if there isn't, all three unions have stated that they're prepared to ballot for industrial action, because this has gone on. It's having a hugely corrosive effect on morale and, on people coming in, as you said, into the staff room and, you know, working alongside each other. Some people have been paid on different scales to others. And even the principle of unequal pay, there just shouldn't be unequal pay. So we're reaching crunch time, I suppose, now with this issue. And if it's not resolved satisfactorily in the budget, you know, if a substantial, I would say substantial, even significant amount is not put on the table for the final restoration of the gap between people who started before 2011 and people who started since, I think it's almost a certainty that the unions will have to ballot for industrial action.
Yeah, and I mean, just for the benefit of the listeners, Mark, we should point out that what we're talking about here, in case anybody is confused, is that a teacher starting, we'll say, since I think it's 2000 and... When did that two-tier pay system come in, Mark?
It started 1st of January 2011.
2011, yeah, that's what I thought. That a teacher starting any time after that will never reach the maximum of a teacher that's prior to that. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about teachers starting on far higher pay, but what we're saying is that when they incrementally, when they reach their max will never be the same as somebody who joined pre-2011. So, I mean, you're talking there about 13 years now. Maths wasn't a strong subject of mine in school, but I do quick back of the envelope calculation. You're talking about 72 or 73,000 euro over that period of time. So over a teacher's lifetime, we're talking massive money.
Oh, yeah, it's well over 100,000. I mean, it's not out. I mean, one figure we calculated was up as far as 170,000. So it depends. There's a slight difference between primary and secondary, the amount is bigger at secondary because there's it's a small difference in pay at primary and second level. So it's pretty severe over the course of a teacher's career, and it's most significant. It's like a triangle. It's biggest at the bottom. At the base of the triangle, the gaps are the biggest, and as you go up the scale, it gets narrower, but the gap always remains. You know, and you know, at in the early stages of your career, a lot of teachers would be, you know, trying to get a house, set themselves up with a house or family or whatever, and it's in those relatively early years that they need the money. And you know, it's no good saying down like 10 or 15 down years down the line that the gap narrows, if you like. At that stage, it's really at the start of the career that the gap needs to be closed, basically, you know.
Yeah, and of course anybody following the number one issue, which I think it will be for any forthcoming election, which is the housing crisis, will know that any teacher, particularly those in Dublin, owning your own house is totally aspirational. It's not feasible at the moment, Mark.
No, well, I mean, that's another factor in it. I mean, a lot of these factors, I suppose, come almost from outside the education system. I mentioned the mental health services there earlier, and also the housing crisis is another factor that has a huge detrimental effect on teachers' ability to you know, even sometimes take jobs in particular places, because they'd be saying to themselves, well, I can't work in Dublin because I can't afford the rent, or even if I am working in Dublin, I'm living in half a box room or something, because, you know, you've seen the pictures online of the various different so-called accommodation that's been provided in some cases, that it's very substandard. And yeah, I mean, what teachers, I suppose, and anybody would have, you know, aspired to in the past, you know, the possibility of owning their own home is slipping further away, especially with unequal pay. I mean, at least if the pay restoration happened, you would have a bit more of a possibility to achieve that. But certainly at the moment, I mean, you know, any teacher who's on equal pay, I mean, first of all, there's the sheer injustice of the fact that they're doing the same job and they've been treated differently and discriminated against purely because they happen to start a couple of months after somebody else, you know.
And yeah, well, I mean, that's blatantly unfair, and especially, I mean, you know, would be maybe slightly justifiable if we were still in the throes of that economic situation, but we keep getting told that we're the best economy in Europe and we're flying along and we're best boys in class and I suppose junior teachers will say, well, we've paid the price for long enough, now we need to be reimbursed. Mark, before you go, I just want to wrap up on a couple of different things. The myth, of course, that we're all very jealous of teachers because you're off for half the year. This study shows that actually you're doing more than your European counterparts.
Yeah, that's right. Irish teachers work more, a lot more hours than other countries. I have the figures there. For example, Irish teachers work, we work for, let's have a look here.
I'll save you the trouble. That's 735 hours per annum, right, compared to the EU average, which is 635. So that's 100 hours a year there. And more instructive time, you spend 924 hours at lower level, second level, compared to the OECD of 913. And the EU average is only 894. So Irish teachers do spend a lot more time in the class. And also, as somebody, and I have to be honest about this, Mark, and hold my hand up, it was a while ago, but I don't think things have changed much, who benefited greatly from the after-hours activities of teachers, and I'm talking particularly of training underage football teams, etc., up and down the length of the country.
Yeah, I mean, the official hours that you mentioned there, the 735 hours for secondary teachers and slightly higher at primary, that only covers the class contact time, and as you said, that's, you know, it's at least 100 hours more than the EU average, and that doesn't even include the 735 hours doesn't even include all of the extra preparation work the teachers do on a regular basis. The ASDI, we've estimated that it's about 20 hours per week extra in terms, so you'd have to add that on to the 735 hours and all the extracurricular activities that teachers do voluntarily. And of course, there's been the unpaid hours that were introduced during the crisis, the so-called co-park hours, which were 33 additional hours that are actually just unpaid. You have to stay back after school for maybe 2 hours every couple of weeks to do various different activities, and the hours are just unpaid. Like, they're not paid. They were imposed during the economic crisis, and they, despite the fact that the ASDI has campaigned against them, they've actually remained. So, and then in terms of supervision and substitution, there's an extra 6 hours there that are additional to what was there before, and then the rate of pay for the supervision and substitution has gone down as well by about €10. So one of the reasons why, say, countries like Finland have lower teaching hours is because they spend more time, the teachers themselves spend more time collaborating with colleagues. And this is one of the things the government says it wants in the Irish system, that they want teachers to be collaborating more, to be sharing resources, to be working together and developing innovative practice and all that kind of thing. But we're so busy in our 735 hours of constant class contact time that when you finish that, there's very little time for the type of collaboration that the government talks about. Whereas, so they're introducing new curricula and saying this is about teachers collaborating and so on, but they're not actually providing the reduction in hours. There's been a tiny reduction in hours to facilitate, for example, the junior cycle, but it's only 40 minutes a week. Like, if we were to be on a par with countries like Finland, we would need to be doing maybe 2 hours less direct class contact time and using those 2 hours for collaboration with our colleagues. But that's just not happening in the Irish system, because any demand to reduce even slightly the hours is just met with total opposition. You know, even though if we want to, you know, Richard Bruton talks about Ireland being the best education and training service by 2026, and, you know, he wants us to head in that direction. But as we saw in the Education at a Glance report, the investment isn't being put in, because the investment that is going in is just barely keeping pace with the increase in student numbers. And despite all these announcements, at the rate we're going, there's no way we're going to be the best education and training service by 2026. So a lot of the time teachers experience this as kind of a lot of rhetoric about where we're supposed to be going, a lot of rhetoric about, you know, collaboration with colleagues and so on, but the money isn't provided, the investment isn't provided, and the time isn't provided, you know. So it's very frustrating. Even if we were well disposed to greater collaboration, which many teachers are, the time isn't there really. And because we do have a very high direct class contact time, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and of course Richard Bruton is talking about 2026. I'm sure Mark Walsh and his colleagues in the ASTI are more concerned with 2019. Mark, we will close on a good note. It's not all doom and gloom. Our current young generation are far more environmentally aware, for a start, which is good. And also, foreign-born young people do far better in the Irish education system than foreign-born children in other countries.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a testament to the Irish education system and the teachers who work in it that we have integrated international students so well into the system, you know. I mean, other countries struggle with issues of racism and fear of people from different countries and so on. But in Ireland, we've been very, I think the education system has played a huge role in helping to integrate students who are treated from different countries who are treated exactly the same as Irish students. And I think that's what helps them succeed, as pointed out in the OECD report, that they succeed sometimes even better than Irish students, and that's not the norm across other OECD countries. So obviously that's something that we should celebrate in the education system, and it's because teachers understand that we need to have inclusive education, and it is a reality on the ground in Ireland in most cases, which is great. The other issue that you mentioned in terms of the environmental awareness of students. Yeah, you see, I mean, there's been some articles in the paper, and you know, there's often articles condemning young people and students and how they're just about themselves and they don't care about politics or the environment and things like that. But I think the OECD reports, in particular in relation to Ireland, shows that that's just not the case. That if anything, students now are more clued into environmental issues, social issues, political issues than they have been in the past, and that's hugely welcome as well. And again, it shows that the Irish education system is promoting those, promoting, I suppose you could argue, critical thinking skills. I mean, you hear a lot of talk about critical thinking skills in a type of business sense, but the level of environmental awareness and political awareness, that shows a level of critical engagement with society and with the world that students are often assumed not to have, or to be the exact opposite. You know, there's been articles in the newspaper quite recently portraying students as kind of, you know, impolite and sort of, you know, basically just interested in themselves. But I mean, I think this report bears out the fact that that's not the case. So it's actually quite positive. I mean, we don't say that there aren't positive things happening in the education system. There definitely are. For example, the introduction of computer science as a leaving cert subject, that's very positive. The introduction of PE as a leaving cert subject, that's very positive. And those changes have been introduced with the support of teachers. Those curriculum changes. It's the other changes the other curricular changes, for example, the junior cycles that were kind of imposed by the government without the support of teachers. These are the things that have, and also the ongoing cuts to our pay and conditions and so on that have happened over the past number of years. I mean, it's very, you know, we want to be positive, and there are a lot of positive things happening in the Irish education system, and it's performing quite well internationally, even though you wouldn't think of it, all the condemnation of the system in the media and so on. But I mean, that's happened because of the work of teachers, despite the fact that our pay and conditions have been systematically cut over the austerity years and continue to be. I mean, even in the most recent social partnership agreement, teachers' pensions were cut, you know, so across the board. So in terms of the pension levy that had been introduced during the crisis was made a permanent part of our pension contributions. So, you know, the level of forbearance, I think, of teachers is incredible, you know, and the level of commitment of teachers is incredible in the system, especially given the fact that literally our paying conditions have been cut out from under us all the way along.
Mark, unfortunately, the clock has beaten us. Mark Walsh, committee member for the ASTI in the Dublin North East and Fingal area. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Northside Today. Always a pleasure, Mark. Thank you so much.
That's great, Danny. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye now.